Well, today's gospel reading could well have been taken from one of our daily newspapers. It's a story about violence and murder, about jealousy and greed. It's a story of a landowner who plants a vineyard, digs a wine press, and builds a watchtower. And he then rents his vineyard to tenants, and they make an honest deal about how the fruit will be shared between them. The landowner trusts the tenants and goes away on a journey. But when the time comes for him to seek his share of the fruit, and he sends his servants to collect it, the tenants kill them. And so a second time he sends servants, more of them this time, to ask for what is his. But once again the servants are beaten and killed. So the landlord decides that he must send his son to try to negotiate with these rogue tenants. Surely they will listen to his son. But by now, the tenants have dug deep pits of evil. They've murdered servants again and again, so why should they treat the son any differently? So when he arrives, the precious son of the landlord, they immediately see an opportunity to kill him and take his inheritance. So that's what they do. It's a harrowing story of violence. And its location in chapter 21 of Matthew is symptomatic of the rising tension between Jesus and the religious authorities at this point in the gospel. Because this is a story with significant Old Testament resonances. The Old Testament frequently refers to the people of Israel as a vineyard. And the Old Testament prophets challenged God's people that they'd become a vineyard that was bearing bad fruit. And we heard some of that in that reading from Isaiah chapter 5, a direct parallel with this story, using the image of God lovingly planting a vineyard, digging a winepress, and building a watchtower. So the chief priests and Pharisees quickly know what Jesus is talking about as he begins to tell this parable. They recognize that he's speaking about them, that they are the tenants charged with taking care of the vineyard. Well, we often use the word allegorical to talk about parables. It's a great word to throw into sentences if you're trying to impress people, together with eschatological and ecclesiological. You can really have fun at a dinner party. An allegorical parable is one in which we can see quite clearly that each part of the parable directly represents something else. And there's a lot of allegory in this particular parable of Jesus. So the landowner clearly represents God, and the vineyard is the world that God has made. The tenants are the people of Israel, God's chosen people, who he invited to partner with him in the work of caring for the world and its people. The servants are the prophets sent to challenge the wayward Israelites who were largely ignored and mistreated. And the son, of course, is Jesus, who, even as he tells this story, is pointing to the death that he will die. It's a story full of depth, sorrow, and power. It tells how Jesus has come to Jerusalem to confront the tenant farmers with God's call to repentance, for Israel to be what it was called to be, the light of God's world. And it's the story of how Israel, through its official representatives, is going to refuse the call and would end up killing the son. The final verses of the chapter are so telling. The chief priests and Pharisees knew that he was talking about them and looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd. So what does this parable mean for us today? What message can we prayerfully take away from this gospel reading? Well, certainly, we see in this passage the reality of evil in the world in all its forms. The way that greed and jealousy leads to violence and murder, which becomes a perpetuating cycle. And we see that in so many parts of our world today. But I think really the heart of the challenge for us is that we are God's people of today, just as the Israelites were God's people as Jesus spoke to them. So we need to listen carefully to Jesus' warning. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. The judgment of Jesus against the Pharisees and religious leaders was that their commitment to their religious practices had become more important than their commitment to God. Could the same be said of us? Is there ever a danger that we've become so caught up in our religion that we've stopped producing fruit? Is there a danger that we've become all about keeping the church the way we like it? And so we've stopped allowing the Spirit to provoke and challenge us into new ways and new opportunities. Because it seems to me that any religious community turns sour when it's so focused on protecting its own systems and programs that it's lost God in the midst of them. Lost the true heart of worshipping God in spirit and in truth. Forgotten that if we haven't got love, we're just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Well, during lockdown, we were reminded that we don't just go to church. We are the church. And as the church, we have a high calling to be the people of God, to be a light to the world, to shine with the light and hope and peace of Christ, to bear fruit that will last. And it's daunting, living out that high calling that God has given to us as the church. It's daunting being God's people in this time and in this place, bearing fruit for the kingdom. It's daunting. Well, it's ordination season at the moment, having been delayed from July. So over the last couple of weeks, we've seen all on live stream, of course. Everything is streamed at the moment. It's wonderful. We've seen about 30 men and women across the Diocese of Chichester being ordained as deacons and priests in God's church, including Liz Jinks from St. Mary's and now serving her curacy in St. Mark's. And if you take some time to read the ordinal, the words that express what deacons and priests are called to be and do, they are absolutely petrifying. It's a wonder that we find any candidates willing to rise to the challenge. But as the bishop questions each candidate about their faith and their sense of vocation to this ministry, they answer again and again, "By the help of God, I will. By the help of God, I will." So as we commit to being the church in this time and this place, to bearing fruit for the kingdom, to loving God more than our religious traditions, we bring to God our fears of whether we can rise to this challenge, and we whisper in our hearts, "By the help of God, I will."